Welcome back, everybody, to our weekly Dancing with the Stars recap. I am joined here, as always, by the lovely Kelly. Kelly, how are you doing this week?
I'm okay. You know, I'm a little upset about some maybe uneven scoring that might have gone down.
Yeah, I think that's the consensus. I think that us and the Twitterverse are all on the same page that the judges are a little wonky this season. They don't really know what they're doing. In regards to, like, I feel like their commentary is fine. I feel like they're giving good commentary, and what they're saying is, like, fine. But then the numbers, as in comparison to each contestant, is like, So,
yeah, the numbers are totally crazy, and they're not consistent week to week. I felt this week was like, last week we overscored everybody, so this week we're going to overcompensate for that. And I was like,
I felt that. And, you know, Kelly, were you just shocked and amazed at the thematic amazingness that was Vegas night? I don't know if it was what you expected and what you deserved, but it was what it was. It was Vegas night.
I didn't see it coming. I gotta say, no one's ever looked stupider than the pros did in those feather hats.
And you know what? The opening number was like bananas. Like, it was bonkers. Like, I don't think I've seen an opening numbers that was that routine and like choreography heavy, like in a long time. Yeah. And there was just like intricate nonsense. When the bridesmaids like all came out, what were they? The bachelorettes, like they were all like bachelorettes, like on their Vegas, like bachelorette party. Like, I almost lost it. It was bananas. Yeah. The drunk bachelorettes. Yeah. Too much.
It was absolutely crazy. And it was like so dumb.
I was just like, let's dance, everyone. Like, let's get down to business. Let's just like get on with the show here.
I mean, I like a good opening number, especially last season, the opening number for the whole season was the pros at the Griffith Observatory. And it was choreographed by Mandy Moore. And it was like sort of, you could tell she'd finished filming La La Land, but it hadn't come out yet. So it was this totally novel, really interesting. And there was like helicopters and things. But
yeah, and you know what? I think it's good. And I think when it's a theme night, they like to go above and beyond, and they like to just go like over the top, like just gaga for Vegas night. I just think that it was quite unclear what Vegas night was. Mm-hmm. Like, was Vegas night gambling? Was Vegas night just about money? Was Vegas night Elvis? You know, like,
it was literally anything that has to do with Vegas.
The city
I was
of
literally
Vegas,
surprised there wasn't a hangover themed dance. Like, there
was, it was a little like touristy maybe. Like,
oh, totally.
Tourism like board sponsored.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we've got Shotgun Wedding.
It's not bad. I just was like,
the Rat Pack, like, we have to hit on all of the Vegas stereotypes. And I was surprised. I was like, I'm going to see Bradley Cooper and Ed, what's his face, dance.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call, because I do feel like if they can pull like the Magic Mike Vegas show out, like, which I've never heard of nor care to ever hear of again.
Can I tell you, though, there is a touring.
Have you seen it?
It's not. No, I haven't seen it. But there is I don't think that's the official one that I believe is probably
in,
like,
Vegas.
In Vegas, that I believe must be like sponsored by, or not sponsored by, but somehow affiliated with the film studio.
And with ABC.
There's like a weird. Really? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because everybody's owned by the same conglomerate. But there's a weird, like, spin-off sort of not quite real version that is a touring production called Magic Men. And I recently got a press release invite, and it's been sitting in my inbox.
That sounds questionable.
Like, Kelly,
you should
go
not
review the Magic Men
to
tour.
I fear for the roofies in your drink that will be at that.
No, so this is the thing. I don't think there would be a single man in the building other than on the stage. It's probably the safest place you can go.
Yeah, that's true. And just sad, maybe. It would just be too sad.
Yeah, well, that that would be my worry. It'd be less sad than the other way around, because I feel like the male strippers are like, whatever, they're having a little bit of fun. But yeah, no. So the Magic Mike thing. And then they had, this was actually their second Magic Mike number. They had done one a few years ago with Carlos Pena. I recall
when it was like popular. Yeah.
He was, I will say, fantastic. Yeah. So this was, you know, different.
It's fine. I will say this for Dancing with the Stars, that, you know, when life gets you down, when life's throwing lemons at you, Dancing with the Stars is always there to throw, you know, like flaming piles of fun at the TV screen. They're just like there to pick you up by the bootstraps and give you just like nonstop, like entertainment spectacle. And that's what this was like. Apart from the interlude with the Huffs, like the substance here was like real slim.
Do you want to talk about the Huffs now and get it out of the way? Or I had my, in my notes.
Yeah, we can talk about it now.
Running order.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, huge fan of the Huffs. I love the Huffs, and I feel like we may take a different, this is a little, I sort of feel bad because my take on this was that this seems like it's a really great number. Like I was very impressed, and I feel like I would be emotionally moved and really taken by this if I were in the audience of their touring show and had gone through the cycle of numbers that led up to this and then declined from this. But in between Bonner and Sharna and Heather and Alan, I felt like it was just like such like an interrupted like space for them to be displaying this. Like, I feel like this was more apt to be a better fit for next week's most memorable moments thing. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that would be a better sort of situation for them to display this and people to be a little bit more into it. But I mean, I really liked it. Anything that Derek and Julian choreograph, I'm always very into. I feel like their style of choreography is very moving to me, and I was very into it. And I liked the setup and the set and the lighting and the I mean, if I were to go see this on tour, I would probably just cry for 2 hours. So there's that.
I kind of agree. I mean, first of all, I also love the Huffs. The Huffs can do nothing wrong.
Big old Huff sandwich. Give it to me in my lunchbox.
And I do really like the occasional reminder that the judges can actually dance.
Correct, yeah.
To listen to them more when they criticize other people for their dancing. But I felt in the moment, my reaction was that this is like the cheesiest thing I've ever seen. And I think that you're on to something, though, when you talk about like its placement, because it was very
super out of place.
Yeah. Well, and I know you don't watch So You Think You Can Dance, but this was very So You Think You Can Dance.
Whereas I mean, I went to a theater dance college. Like, it's right. Very theater dance, liberal arts college. Like, right. I mean, you don't know how many senior dance showcases that I saw were this.
Right. But I feel like if you go see regular contemporary dance sort of out in the world done by people whose main job is contemporary dancer and not TV host, you get, it's a little less narrative driven sometimes. It's a lot of sort of like
abstract thematics and things like that. Yeah.
And on So You Think You Can Dance, relatively early in the series, people started doing like issue dances, and it's specifically right. People contemporary, you know, once Mia Michaels choreographed the Addiction Dance to Gravity. Yes.
And you know what, I've seen a lot of clips of So You Think You Can Dance dances, because I am like a fan of dance. I just like can't get behind like super long TV shows. Like, I just, it can't hold my attention span, and that's really the only reason. Like, don't get me wrong,
but once that door was open and it became this thing where like the dances that were really narratively driven got a lot more votes and a lot more attention and a lot more views on YouTube, because as non-dancers sitting at home watching So You Think You Can Dance, we could relate to it. That became like the modus operandi. And so it was like, everything is these super emotional, very like acty things. And so this would have fit in perfectly over there. But it's like, you have to tune yourself to that sort of material. And if you've just been watching like a slew of fun, frothy sambas, like
nonsense,
and then there's this like really self-serious like thrashing contemporary about whoa.
Well, and that's why it's like they said that, and like even at the end when they're like talking to Tom and they, Tom asks him like, you know, is this what the whole show is, and Derek's like, no, like it's a lot of ups and downs, and it's like, it's fun stuff. It's ballroom stuff. It's just sort of everything. This is just something we're really proud of. And like, I can see that this is something that means a lot to them, and that's why they wanted to showcase it. And I would probably feel the same way if I were them, but at the same time, like, know your audience. And I think that the audience of next week would respond better to this dance, whereas the audience of this week, not that they don't like this dance, and I think everyone really loved it, but I think the audience of this week might have been more in the moment with something that was probably like a jive or like something more like crazy stunts and just like a cool like trick type of situation that I'm sure they have a ton of in their show. So
yeah, next week's audience will be more tuned for like, this is an emotional waltz about my dead mom.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly. Don't worry, that'll be there. It'll be there.
Yeah.
Anyway. It'll
be there. But the it's
let's backtrack.
It wait, hold on one second though.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it awkward? My one other note on that was, isn't it awkward to do a dance about how much your parents' divorce tore you apart and then invite your mom?
Yeah, it's like totally awkward. I was like, so the thing is, it must be something that they've dealt with their whole lives. Like, they're both like in their, you know, he's like 30 something. She's in her late 20s. I think that, you know, at this point, it's defined them so much that it's in the public eye. Like, clearly, you know, even Tom said, like, this is about your parents' divorce. Like, I didn't really know much about it, but I imagine, like, if I Googled it, I would see things, you know? So maybe it's something that it's like, it's sort of
been
discussed.
They were also, like, sent away when they were children to go live with the Ballas family in England and trained.
Yeah, to go learn dance. Yeah. I mean, clearly their childhood was a little messed up, but I mean, they did all right.
I don't know. I'm happy to see Derek. I love Derek. And I thought it was very interesting
that
he was invited back, even though he's on a competing show right now.
I really want him to shave.
Oh, desperately. But then I think that he looks really young if he shaves.
No, yeah, he does. And I know that he like loves his like man fur on his face, but he is too blonde to have that kind of facial hair.
Yeah, okay. Blonde people shouldn't have facial hair. But
end my judgment on his facial hair. But it's something that's always really bothered me whenever Derek has facial hair. It like, yeah, brings
I think
him down
it's
at
just
least
that
two
he
numbers.
Can't grow real facial hair. Like, I think it's patchy, but he can't not have it because he's like, I look 12. So,
yeah,
except that at this point on the show, he's 10 years older than the other pros. So he might as well have looked like he's 12.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump back to the beginning. Yeah. So this week we opened up.
No, I have one other I have audience watch, and then I have one other non-dance note. And it is that Erin messed up the first thing she said. And I thought
Erin was rough today. Erin was a little rough.
Erin's the worst, but she looked
she
beautiful.
Also kept
I really liked
she
her
also
pants.
Kept, her pantsuit was cute. She kept pointing out tonight though that nobody knows where they're ever looking. She was like, nobody knows where to look around here. It's so confusing. And I was like, Erin, no, like clearly you know where to look. Like, stop making that
literally
a thing.
The first, maybe she thinks it's endearing that it's like a glitch.
I think she does. Oh no, I think she does. Like, she thinks she's like a ditzy like host. But
the very first, I just thought that was really funny. The very first thing she said, she messed up the words, and it made because she said their numbers are on the screen. Their phone numbers. I got so excited.
Yeah, it's like she always like has to self-explain too, and it's like, nope, not the way
numbers
to go.
Is fine. Like, we understand what numbers means.
Yeah, I didn't think you meant like. They're like serial numbers. They're social
we
security numbers.
Them
like,
as human beings.
Oh God, Erin. Anyway, audience watch. Hit me. Who is in the audience tonight, Kelly? Okay,
it wasn't that interesting. It was
no,
so
it really
first
wasn't.
Of all, we always have to start with Vanessa because I think we have to count her, and it's going to be notable the day she's not there. So we're starting
with
Vanessa.
Living in LA, so
there's only one shot of Vanessa, but it was like a check-in to make sure we knew she was there. And speaking of Vanessa, we also had Ashley I and her sister
I did see them. That's right.
I'm pretty sure I saw her. I might have imagined her because she lives in my dreams because I love her. I mostly love her though. One of the reasons I love her is that she's actually like really friends with Nick. And one of the things I liked about Nick was that he has actual female friends with whom he has this, like, honest to God platonic relationship. And one of them is Ashley I, who was with him at when he, like, crashed Caitlyn's date to join that season. She had gone to the concert with him. So I like that relationship, and it doesn't get enough spotlight. So I was very happy to see her there. Her sister annoys me, though.
Well, yeah.
When we had Kim's husband, the Shark Tank guy, whose name I can never remember.
Robert, what's his face?
Herchevek or something. Yeah.
Yeah, because Kim Herchevek.
Then Derek and his mom, who I decided counted. Christy Yamaguchi, who was the winner of season 6 and a skater. Yes. So she got cut to every time Nancy was mentioned.
Didn't she have like news this week, Christy Yamaguchi?
Did she? Not that I saw.
I don't.
Maybe you should Google that while I go through the rest of the list.
Yes, continue.
Amber Rose, who is dating Val and is Max's partner from last season. And I don't get it. And I really want to know what their deal is because I don't see her getting along with Val. Naya Rivera. I was very excited to see Naya Rivera, who played Santana on Glee. But then they didn't mention her at all. She didn't get a shot. Like, there was one reaction shot of her in the audience, and that was it. I was like, wait, no, it's a big deal that she's there. That was like a Santana and Brittany. Mm-hmm, come on. But we did get focus on Jenna Elfman and Steven Schneider from Imaginary Mary, which was one of those things where ABC forces somebody to go to the show.
Oh, yeah. I love when they do that. So terrible. Wait, I found the news. Can we pause?
Ooh, yes.
So Christy Yamaguchi tweeted, break a leg to Nancy Kerrigan on Dancing with the Stars. But Nancy Kerrigan and Christy Yamaguchi, laugh it off. It's no big deal.
I love Dancing with the Stars news because it's almost never
no
news.
No bad blood.
It's a lot of like, here's a headline. And they were leaving, like, it's like they left rehearsal in a huff because they were tired from rehearsing so hard.
Yeah, like, I also feel like
that the news isn't news.
Yeah, I also feel like that was Michelle Kwan. Somebody filed for divorce, another skater. That was Michelle Kwan. Moving on. Anyone else?
The only other person I have written down is Charo's son, who looks both exactly like her and also a little bit like the guy who lived in O.J. Simpson's pool house. So do with that what
Kato
you will.
Kalen?
Yeah. So Charo's son, who was there, looks just like him. And also, but also just like Charo, which
his
was
his name is Shell. S-H-E-L. Shell. And he does look like him. Correct.
He was excited. He was cheering for his mom. So that was good.
He looks like a fun dude.
Yeah.
All right. That's
so,
a good crew.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't the best. There was no RuPaul, you know?
Oh, well, never. Yeah. All right,
so
cool. So, I mean,
Nick, who was forced to go first.
Oh, poor Nick. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about Nick and PETA. They had a little bit of an intro package where we talked about some of the rough critique that they received from some of the... So basically, the storyline or the through narrative, as we're supposed to believe it, is that PETA is giving Nick too much content and he can't handle it. Like, clearly, that's, like, not the case because he's doing fine. And he's, I think, dancing really well. And his costume was baller this week. And I think he just got some eights and he didn't get some.
Their aesthetic, like, their costume and the way the stage was lit and, like, their whole staging was my favorite by far this week.
It and do you get so it that cool. He was like the king of hearts?
I do, you know, I bachelor. Do get it, actually.
Do you get it?
King of hearts, you know. Yeah, no.
Okay, the judges know nothing, though. They don't know anything, and I hate them, but I hate them. They don't know anything. Wait,
so go back a little bit and talk about his... So I'm fascinated by what's happening here with the edit, because the framing of Nick.
I'm
because
confused.
You're right that last week's narrative was definitely PETA gave him too hard of work. But being Nick this week, you could tell that the interviewer was like, so do you feel that PETA let you down? Because the judges clearly thought that she gave you sort of the wrong type of routine. And the way he answered a question to me suggested that exactly what the... Because what he said was... Mm-hmm. if anything, I feel like I let PETA down. And the way his intonation was, I was like, oh, that was, he was contradicting them saying, do you think he'll let you down? And he won't let them be that be the narrative, which I thought was lovely.
And I think that, the judges gave him
good would rather critique, do something really hard and do it well, but he needs to get a little bit more on board with the the Bonner strategy of just give me very simple stuff that I can execute without.
And I thought it looked way simpler this week than it did last week. And I do agree that it was the judges sort of gave him a little bit of a more positive spin this week than they did last week. Like Glenn seemed on board and Bruno only had things to say about his foot articulation. So, I mean, it seemed like they liked it more than they did last week, but then his score was only 26 out of 40.
Yeah.
So I think I felt like that was weird. Yeah.
I think he did really well this week. I really liked it. I gave him a 7, which is not that high, but if he'd gotten 4 7s, I think it would have been fine. But he was still stiff, but I think the tango really suited him. I like their aesthetic. Well,
yeah, that's the style. No, like
this was the first major appearance of Nick's abs and torso in general, which is always very impressive. Mm-hmm. They were clearly very, very angry with their scores,
They were doing what the judges were telling them to do. Like, she clearly she took out some content. Like, it wasn't as much content. And he really focused and he really tried his hardest and he was doing, you know, he had more fun and he relaxed. And even Julianne said, like, he breathed through it and they could tell. So why are the judges saying you listen to what we said, like great job, and then giving him 6s, you know? So I can see why if I repeat, I'd be pissed.
Element, right? Like I think that, you know,
make sense.
And I feel like this is a thing that happens to Nick where he'll do everything kind of right. And at the end of the day, people just kind of don't like him as much as they like other people.
Yeah. Like, and I think that when you go first, it sets you up for just sort of like, all right, great. You did all right. Yeah. See you later. Like, we got to keep going, you know?
Like, you know how, like when Mr. T is, or actually let's use a better example. So like when Sean Lowe was a worse dancer than Nick, it was kind of funny that he, or like a David Ross, he has that sort of bumbling when he's bad. It somehow makes you like
give
him
good
more.
Scores because you're almost like pity scores.
Yeah. Whereas Nick is trying so hard and beating himself up so much when he's not good that it's
because
not,
he has the ability to be good. So I think they want him to actually be successful.
I don't know that he has that much of an ability to be good, though. He doesn't have a natural rhythm. He lacks groove. Like, you know,
I think that he's
really
proven that he has like, I think that he's proven that he has like the ability to that he has like rhythm and he can move and he has like flexibility and things like that, where, you know, there's somebody like David Ross that's just like can't dance, like, you know. Yeah. So I think that, I don't know. I mean, I just think that the scoring was a little off here. And then you get to our next couple.
The scoring was off, but I just think that it's not going to be this week. I think it's going to be indicative of Nick's whole run. I think that he's not getting those bonus charm scores and like winning them over scores. That's like the extra point or two for just like, darn, you're hard not to smile at. Which is a shame because I love him.
Yeah. And I think that the audience really likes him too.
It's hard to tell. I've never had a good sense of how other people feel about Nick, but I don't know. He is being undermarked, but I do think that this is going to be a chronic problem with him and he's going to go out in sort of that standard bachelor spot 3-4 weeks in.
I don't know. I hope not. I hope not.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I did like that he called himself an average schmuck in his interview because I love the average schmuck Nick narrative, which totally jives with like our first impression with him with Andy.
Yeah,
or he was just like a totally normal guy who accidentally wandered onto the Bachelor set. Great. Anyway, what did you think of, in stark contrast, our second competitor?
Yeah, in stark contrast, we had Mr. T and Kim. So they were doing a foxtrot to Ain't That a Kick in the Head, which was in Mr. T's wheelhouse, because apparently in the 50s and 60s, he was hanging out with the Rat Pack. Who knows? The photos that they were showing, like, I immediately hit Google and was, like taken into a wormhole. Like, he has, like, the coolest past. He's a cool dude. So he... I... It was fine. Like, he did a cute dance. He was very cute. It was fine. He's not a great dancer, but he was entertaining.
Yeah, that's basically all I wrote. Was this the first time he said, "I pity the fool"?
Oh, I didn't even notice that he said that. Did he say that?
Well, he did. And I wrote it down because I was like, wait a minute. I don't know that I might be wrong because it struck me as very strange.
No, I'm sure he did. I just didn't hear it.
But he definitely said it. And also, I mean, I don't know how him being cool is a surprise to you. Didn't you see that feather earring?
It's not a surprise.
Only a really cool person can pull off that one feather, long white feather earring.
I did write that down. He had a white tux with a matching white feather earring, which was baller.
That was the only thing. I wrote three notes. I wrote, he said, pity the fool, feather earring, and he's so cute. The dance was terrible. It was a five. It was fine.
It was very slow, and it was very well done for Kim to even get him that far. So
yeah,
he got a 24 out of 40. Which this is where. So we had some comments on Twitter, and I didn't pull them up beforehand. So I apologize for all of our amazing listeners if I don't get your names during this podcast. Or I'm so sorry. I'm like a space cadet, but. Somebody mentioned in a tweet to us that, hey, isn't it crazy that somebody like Nick only got 2 points higher than Mr. T? That is a wackadoodle. And that is crazy.
It is totally crazy.
That sets it in perspective for you.
This is the thing, right? You get an extra point for exceeding expectations, no matter what those expectations were. Yeah. And then you get an extra point for being the sort of person that just makes people smile no matter what you're doing. And those are 2 points Mr. T always gets and 2 points that I think Nick often loses. And that's how you end up evening this playing field and getting relatively similar scores for people who are in different categories completely.
And this was actually another person brought this up on the Patreon post, but this was the wonderful and amazing Scott St. Pierre. But he said, are you trying to tell me that Nick Vile was only 2 points better than Mr. T and that Mr. T was the same level as Bonner? So I think that Scott makes an excellent point that the scoring is flawed, as another person put on our Patreon post, the wonderful and beautiful Haley Strong, my wife and beautiful love. It's just it's flawed. It's confusing and we don't get it. So there you have it.
Ain't that a kick
in the head, Kelly?
I do love that song, though. speaking of Bonner, though, he was next.
Yeah, Bonner Bolton, Sharna Burgess. So, they're here for Charleston.
Interestingly, on one hand, I liked him personally a little bit more than I normally do for a couple of reasons. Okay. One, him being really frustrated with himself. I found a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit endearing because one, it got rid of a little bit of the so cool swagger.
Which I didn't get, but I can see how you saw before. For sure.
And then two, and he almost cried at the end of his video package because he was so overwhelmed and
mad at himself.
And I thought that was endearing. But then also I think he looks so much better in a fedora than a cowboy hat. And I'm not sure that's ever happened before that a person looks good in a fedora.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean,
great in his fedora. So I'm finally starting to see it a little bit, at least aesthetically.
You don't think people look good in fedoras? You don't think they look good on any people or in any?
Well, okay, if you're in period costume. So if you're doing a production of Guys and Dolls and you're playing Sky.
You had me worried there.
It's just that
they've been
co-opted by this just incredibly unappealing contemporary subsection of the population, and they don't make them look good. But Bonner
has to be the right kind of person,
really rocking the fedora. So I liked him a little bit more. He crossed a very low bar in comparison to my feelings about him last week. However, I did also think it was his worst dance because he was really stiff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, we got to learn a little bit more about his injury.
Yeah.
But I just have very little patience for the injury argument after Hinchcliffe last year, who was, there was definitely an argument that he could have won. And
right, but everyone's different, though. I mean, like, everyone's different. Everyone heals differently. Like, he was paralyzed in a rodeo accident, so he clearly, like, has had trouble recovering from that. Like, whether he was able to move right away the next day.
6 months before doing Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, but you know what? He didn't. So he's here, and he can't lift his arms above his head. So, you know what?
Not to be Len. And actually, I was really surprised Len didn't bring this up. But, like, why was there so much random hip-hop in this Charleston?
Yeah, it was a little strange. Well, I think the problem was that they chose a very strange song. It was, like, A Little Party Never Killed Nobody, which was great. I love that song. But I think Len did say this, for Charleston, like, it has to have more of that Charleston, like, bop to it. And I think they were trying to keep it too low to avoid doing lifts and to avoid doing tricks, because Bonner couldn't do it. So I think that Len was saying, like, that would have come with the lifts and the, like, the above arm movement. And, like, I think that, it wasn't a good type of dance for him with that restriction, and they couldn't move past it.
But Angela, also, don't you know that if you fake it, you can become it, even though that doesn't rhyme?
Is that what Julianne said?
Fake it till you become it. Yeah. She said, I don't like fake it till you make it. I like fake it till you become it. And I was like, Julianne, it rhymes. Up. You're ruining it.
On our Patreon group, Randy Nupple asked, does Carrie Ann hate fun? Does she hate fun? Does Carrie Ann hate fun?
No. And I think the answer is she wants the coochie coochie back. I think there's, like, obvious evidence that she doesn't hate fun, but I did like her comment that you didn't do it well, but you tried, which made me.
Yeah, she's like, you didn't give up. And my, like, reaction, I wrote down in my notes, oof. I was like, OOF, period.
He literally said, you didn't do it well. And I was like, that's correct. He didn't do it well.
She's like, but you didn't give up. And I was just like, what a terrible thing to say.
Why, like, why did, like, he feel like Carrie Ann wasn't having any fun? Couldn't he see her fun bangs?
She did have fun. Okay, so a really fun fact about Michael Bloom, he hates bangs. Like, he hates bangs.
A lot of guys a lot of guys have weird bang feelings.
He when we would watch Glee, like, when Rachel in Glee got her bangs, like, he, like, oh God, like, it was terrible. Like, I don't know what, we almost had to, like, bury Glee in the backyard. It was like almost like a funeral.
I wonder if we have any listeners who don't listen to Dancing with the Stars, but just tune in for the, like, behind the scenes Mike Bloom anecdote.
I hope so, because, like, you know what? They're here. They're here.
Yeah, we have tweet the only person. Let me know what you want to know. Scoop, everybody.
let me know if you want to know some dirt. So I mean, I think that Bonner and Charna were fine. I do not think that they were 24 out of 40. I do not think they were as bad as Mr. T. Like, if you're gonna give, like, a Mr. T a 24, like, then Bonner and Bolton need to be a 26 and Nick and Pita need to be a 28. You know, like, it just was, it was a lot of confused scoring there. But
I think what happens is because they all do their they all put in their scores without talking to each other. So there's this swing of four grades, basically, where, like, if we think someone should get a 26, yeah. Okay, so two people have to do one thing and two people have to do another thing. And if
it's so confusing. Well, Tim Westing on our Patreon group asked, is there any way Mr. T isn't the next person out? Bonner is probably less popular and he would be my prediction to go next. Any thoughts? So between the two, I don't think this is the two that you have to pick from. Like, I don't think that it's between Mr. T and Bonner, but I think that if it weren't Mr. T, do you think Bonner could go? Because I don't think he has a huge fan base.
I don't know. Hard to tell. Are we absolutely sure that when they do the, like, this is who's in danger, it's actually the final two? Or do they just pick
another couple? Yeah, because so they just pick another couple. Because that's the problem. I was actually, somebody wrote on Twitter that it's not the case, and they wish they would go back to the old way where they would say these are the bottom two of the leaderboard. Whereas so now it's just, yeah, so now you don't know. So they'll tell you who the person going is, but they won't tell, like, PETA, and, like, oh man. So PETA's face when they were the last pair, I thought she was going to murder somebody because there was no that didn't mean that they were second to last. It just meant that that's who they picked.
Well, I'm interested because I feel like on one hand, I want to say that being in danger and not going home theoretically might help because it might tune people into being like, oh, I have to call and save Nick.
Yeah.
They don't realize how in danger he is. Cause I do think he's a little bit in danger than people think he is. But on the other hand, like then you would just end up with the same two people coming in. It basically would just predict the boot order. So I don't know. I think that you should.
Well,
should
I think that's why they changed it. I think that they used to go down to a certain number and then they used to bring it down to two. And they it used to be when they had the two night show.
Yeah.
The two night a week show. It used to be a little different because they had that second night. So they could have them dance and call people safe throughout the show. So it was a little less clear who was safe and who wasn't. But I think now that it's so rushed, they just can't. Well,
I think this field is an interesting one, right? Because it you would think that Mr. T would be the obvious next boot, but then there seems to be a little bit of a gap. And whether that gap is created by danceability or likability, there's a little bit, we just don't really know after theoretically, unless Mr. T's has this crazy boon of fans. There should be theoretically a gap, and then you get your Bonner, Nick, and David, and trying to figure out among them. It's hard to tell who's actually in danger. I would say next after Mr. T should probably be one of those three, but I wouldn't know where to start in terms of telling you which one it would be.
Because, yeah, me neither.
You know, I think
David we should try honestly because I feel like the predicting,
but it depends on how the fans feel about Nick. And he's very famous on ABC and in the ABC world. And luckily,
that doesn't always translate to likable, but
exactly. Yeah, you're right. Well, I think sort of notoriously, when they announced him as The Bachelor, Elon, the producer, was going on about how excited he was because it was the first time they'd picked someone who was sort of explicitly not popular, but will be interesting. And I don't know. I think that I think he might be in a little bit more danger than we think he is, even though theoretically you would think demographically, you would almost expect him to have the biggest fan base because there's got to be so much Bachelor Dancing with the Stars crossover.
There's so many people on this season. I think that it's just hard.
So I'd say it's one of those three would be my guess.
Yeah. Okay. But
really hard to say because there is definitely a jump, or there should be. There doesn't seem to be in judges' scores, but there's definitely a jump in between Mr. T and that second tier.
All right. So moving on from our cowboy and our redheaded goddess, on to my dream come true and true love to be
Alan?
Heather Morris. No, both of that. Stop it. You knew I was going to say Heather. They were amazing tonight.
They were amazing tonight. I gave her a 9. I thought she was incredible.
Both of them together, I was just gushing. I was in a puddle on the floor. Sadly, Max was still out because I don't know, his calf is broken or something. Something's wrong with him. He got surgery, but he's there, so it must not be that serious.
He thinks will he's gonna be back maybe.
I don't know. He's being real suspicious about that though. He was clearly told not to say anything on live TV, but we'll see. I mean, honestly, I don't even care because her and Alan are doing really great.
I love Alan. That was my only tweet in the entire episode.
Although we did get a correction.
I love him. We
did get a slight correction. We had said that Alan had subbed in before and he has not subbed in before. He's only been on the house team. Sorry, RB.
Are we sure?
No, that's what somebody
not
said.
Right. That person's wrong.
I'm not going to fight the system, man. Heather and
wrong. Because he's definitely
Kelly and that person get at each other. this was a tag.
I don't. It also doesn't matter at all. But
that's what I'm saying, girl.
I'm very, very convinced that that person's wrong.
Also, can we take a sidetrack to talk about Alan's outfit tonight and how much I loved it?
Why was that so notable? I feel like they wear stuff like that all the time, but they talked about it a ton on the show as well.
Well, so the thing is that Max refuses to wear like glitter. Like, that's like a thing with him.
Does he know he's a ballroom dancer?
Yeah, but he doesn't like to be too rhinestone-y, so he's like very manly about it.
So how insecure is he about his male identity? Grow up, Max.
He's a real. So he would never be seen wearing that. But I really liked it. It was so funny. And I think that it was just like both of them were just such pure talent. And the routine was really great. What song were they dancing to? I wrote it down because it was Toxic. Right.
Do you know if Alan choreographed it or if Max choreographed it?
It was both. So it was a combo, but I think it was mostly Alan. But I think that it was with Max, like while he was in and out of surgery, like giving critiques and working with them. So it's kind of like a dual choreography situation.
Then I'm willing to say that she's much better off with Alan because there was less nonsense around it. And there was less.
It was ballroom. It was like a ballroom dance.
And I don't always mind the game playing and showmanship, but that's the kind of stuff that I think you're supposed to add on as extra. And
time and place, though, like when you get further in the competition and you get like three dances a night, then you make one where it's like super showmanshipy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. But also, I think it does. It takes away time and energy. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you only have so much time and energy, you have to devote as much of it as possible to learning the dance and perfecting the dance. And by taking away all that stuff, Alan was just like, we're going to make sure that you know how to do this dance and do it really well. And it was the first time that she danced up to the caliber that I was expecting from her preseason. In terms of the actual execution of the actual ballroom dance.
And it like threw Julianne's bullshit about her not being able to ballroom dance and like only being able to hip hop dance like out the window. It was like, no, Julianne, she can do both because she's a dancer.
Well, but the reason she can do it, that was actually interesting because up until now, I actually had started to buy into that just because.
Because it wasn't showing. Yeah.
Because she wasn't doing a good enough job. And I was just like, why on earth with the leg up that you have? Are you not better at this? Like, it almost looked like she wasn't rehearsing hard enough or whatever. And I think it was because there was so much extra noise happening with Max.
Last week he had the injury.
But he also just has so much extra stuff because he's Max. Whereas Alan was huge energy.
And their chemistry is just probably very, like, confusing and, like, all over the place. Whereas Alan, he famously
fights with people a lot.
And he
has a new baby at home. And like, I don't know. I just feel like there was a lot of noise. Whereas Alan was like, here's a good, solid, very well choreographed dance. I'm going to teach it to you. And then we're going to rehearse it a bunch. And then we're going to go perform it.
And we're going to do it to Toxic together. And it was, that's like a thing that you've done. Like, but we're going to make it about ballroom.
Yeah. I actually thought it was underscored quite dramatically and was fantastic.
Yeah, I loved it. And I felt like the judges felt the same way. Len was all about it. He said the content was great. They wanted to point out their chemistry was really awesome and applaud that it was just very musical. And, you know, she got the first nine of the season. Woot, woot, win a pick. Team Angela. Just kidding. But she did get the first nine of the season. It was a great dance. I loved it. It was good. Solid. Moving right along. Don't want to dangle too long on it. I don't know what that means. I hate myself. On to another mess. Charo and Keo.
I like it.
Somebody on the patron group like made me like laugh out loud when I got the questions. Steven Scott said, "Can we just have Charo put to sleep?" And I it was a real dark, but it made me literally laugh out loud at work. I was like, dark, but I like it. I was like, I don't want her put to sleep. Like, do not get me wrong, internet. I love Charo and her coochie coochie and her nonsense and her planet. But I think that, you know, the time had come for Charo to sail on home to her planet.
For sure. But she went home on a really strong week. I thought her dance was so charming. Agreed. Mostly my big takeaway. Well, first of all, I have to interject. I Googled it and Alan subbed in for Mark Ballas when he was hurt and he danced with Patriot's aunt. So like, come on, guys. Anyway,
come on at us. We know.
Yeah, I know my like right, Dancing with the Stars history, guys. All the important stuff in the world is crammed into this brain. Just like reality TV trivia.
But continue to correct us. We like it. No, Kelly doesn't like it, but if you if you have something that we said that was wrong, you can tell us. It's fine.
That's true. I did once on a podcast talk about the fact that Ja Rule is dead and had to be a hologram at the Hamilton mixtape concert because I mixed him up with other people and I just don't know anything about music.
Ja Rule is not dead.
Ja Rule is not dead at all.
So that kind of music, and I know that.
On that front, feel free to correct us. But you have to, here's the rule about correcting us. And this is a rule in life, and you can extrapolate this into your real life, and it'll be a really valuable lesson. Life only correct us if you're right. That's all right. That's my lesson for you.
I don't care.
Okay, so let's talk about Charo, because I really liked her. And my big takeaway from Charo this week was I think this was the most likable Keo's ever been in the history of Keo. I thought he was so charming.
Oh, yeah, this season?
Planet Coochie Coochie brings out the best in Keo. He was so dreamy tonight. He was so charming and fun and relaxed, except not relaxed because he had to take care of Charo, but like... He was delightful, and I was very, very happy to see that because he always seems so sad to me. Like, he always seems, like, put upon and stressed out.
Yeah, because he always has just, like, really terrible partners. And, like, even in this sense where, like, he had a partner that wasn't the most sane person. She was an okay dancer. Like she could pull it together when she needed to. Like, she did fine during this dance. Like, she was very passionate.
And, yeah, you know, well, and like, she was totally calm, and she—you could tell she was forcing herself to really buckle down and be serious.
It
was very charming how hard she was trying to do that, and I just thought it was so sweet. And I think that Keo, I think she brings the best out in him, if only because I think he's a little serious, and I think she pulls. Like, she forces him to stop taking himself so seriously. I was so fully on Team Keo tonight that I was...
Yeah, and I was going to say, on the same note...
Higher than Honor.
And on the same note, I felt just, like, a pang of like, motherly, like, pride in Keo. Because Len came out and said it, that Keo had, like... he praised him to the heavens for his choreography, and I just felt like that was such a well-deserved and like a long time coming compliment for Keo, because he's been doing good choreography for a long time, but like it hasn't really come across because his partners have been kind of on the lackluster side. So yeah, he's been doing what he can.
Does make a mistake choreography wise, they give him a really hard time about
They give him shit for it. Yeah. So it's like, you know, when I'm glad that they finally like gave him the props that he deserves for like doing good choreography. So, and then we get kind of like a rando comment from like confusing Carrie Ann, where she was like, I'd love to see more of the old Charo.
And I'm
like,
oh, Carrie Ann, whatever.
Who are you?
Maybe the banks got to her head. Like, she just was crazy.
She was confused.
My favorite thing that happened all episode was the way Keo said Carrie Ann when she said that. Like, I've been working so hard.
So sad. He was like, no, Carrie Ann, no, please. Like,
don't do this to me.
Oh, God, Charo. Well, just a spoiler alert, Charo goes home, everyone. But
that was appropriate. Although, I don't know, because they had such a good week, I would have liked to have seen her get one more week. But then what would have happened is that next week she would have annoyed me again. So I'm glad that she went out on a high note. And she also went on a note that suggests to me that Keo might get another shot next year. Would be good.
Yes, I think that he will. And I'm happy about that for sure. But moving right along, we go on to Mike's winner pick, Simone, and her lovely partner, Sasha, with their quick step to Viva Las Vegas, where I hated this dance.
Yeah.
Is that a hot take or no?
No, this was fine. Oh, okay. She was fine.
Their scores were inflated. Market crashed and the scores went in through the roof inflation. Yeah. Is that how economy works?
I think this is a weird situation where on one hand, like, they came out week one and were just amazing. But since week one, they've really fallen down to third, fourth, sort of, in terms of winner picks. And I don't think she's showcasing Sasha's abilities very well. She's not one of the partners that brings out the best in him. I don't think he's strong enough to showcase her that well. And I think that everyone was expecting her to be like this incredible standout personality, and she's fine. But Lori Hernandez was a standout personality, and Simone Biles is not nearly as interesting as Lori.
She really is just a giggly 20-year-old. And when this is the quick step and that is the best dance to showcase that, and I still felt like it was Len was praising her because she does have that extreme control and precision ability. But I do feel that's it. You can't just be precise in your movements. I felt like it was a robot, with a crazy smile dancing, you know? So I don't know. I didn't hate it, but I also just felt like I wasn't enthused by it. So I just want to see a little bit more investment on both of their parts. They just don't have the connection. And I feel like if they're not invested in it, then I can't be invested in it. They did the dance well. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a bad dance, and they did it all right.
I'm very emotionally attached to Simone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And okay, the nonsense about the lift was the whole lift gate this episode was Carrie Ann off of her rocker. So this one made the most sense out of the three lift issues this week.
Well, so, I mean, because the Val's one, what, completely wasn't a lift. It was literally...
Oh, yeah. So number one, Simone and Sasha. So Sasha sort of lifts her off the ground for a spin. Whatever. It's not that big of a deal. And she sort of lifts herself. Number two, the second one is that two other people lift lift her up onto a table. They don't lift her. She's not doing a lift. She got picked up onto a table.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Erica Jane. She was started the dance in a held up in the air. So she came down and started the dance. And Carrie Ann thought that was a lift. She took a point for that. It was insanity. It was just so crazy. We had actually a question from Edward Morris on our Facebook patron group, and he said, should they put all the types of dances such as jazz, contemporary, Charleston, Argentine tango, etc. on a separate weeks where lifts are allowed? No. I think that they should just stop being so batshit crazy about the lifts.
I don't know. On one hand, I like usually that Carrie Ann, this is her thing that she's chosen. You know, she's not the tough judge. Yes. There's no way that you can do a breakdown wherein Carrie Ann is the tough one. However, she has this one thing that she focuses on, and she's very consistent about it, and she takes a point off no matter how much it breaks her heart to take a point off. However, usually I give her points for because she's really technical about it. Your foot accidentally comes off in a spin.
Right, correct. And I agree.
But this week, they were sort of, I think, specifically obviously not lifts. I mean, it's great to be super consistent, but it did feel almost she was doing it used to be a little bit tougher this week because she knew she was way too easy last week or something, because it did feel a little forced this week, especially lifting off the table thing. I was that's not what a lift is.
And for Erica Jane, she wasn't lifted anywhere. She was put down. doesn't make any sense. I see with Simone that it could be considered a lift, but you know, we've heard about
I didn't notice
it was just sort of where she kicked into a split instead of instead of like, you know, when they do that thing where they cross arms and they like hold and they spin out. So instead of that, like he just held her and she like kicked back on her own. So her feet left the ground, but like she did it. Like it, he didn't lift her up. So, I mean, it was like mincing like words. It didn't really matter. She docked a point, whatever. They got 32 out of 40. I mean, it was still a really good score. So
at this point in the competition, 1 point doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's when you get down to there are four people left and they're all scoring, you know, 3 9s and a 10.
Yeah. I think for them, it's not what they need to be focusing on. So they need to be focusing on their chemistry and
their chemistry is terrible. It's just terrible.
Emma needs to go slap Sasha and tell him to pull it together.
Yeah. Anyway. I think he's one of the ones who can't handle young people.
Yeah. She is very young, too.
But like Val and I always think of Mark Ballas and even
they know what to do.
Young people like they can handle young people. But he just like has no idea. He just keeps getting mad at her for being too young to do things like look at him
and just
like
self-conscious and like not knowing what to say. And even when like they asked her to do the lift in the but she was like, but it's like a ball. And he was just like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, no, be supportive. Like, she's like scared and she's 20.
Yeah. Anyway, also, were her heels a little shorter this episode because she looked like she was a little too
short. But I think that's the style heel that you can wear in a quick step.
No, I'm just saying, but then maybe they should have put her in a higher one anyway, because it felt like her hold was like being held over her head.
I think it's too hard to do a quick step in the higher heel.
Oh, interesting. Because and this is not a thing you expect to say when you're dealing with Sasha, but like the height difference was distracting to me.
I know, he's so tiny.
Because it felt like her arms were like up near her ears in order to get her hold high enough. And I was like, I can't see your face. Yeah.
But surprisingly, that didn't bother me.
But I also I also just don't know that much about the quick steps. Yeah. So who knows? This is a category in which you can correct me, dear listeners. Go for it. Your hold is supposed to be
Nancy Kerrigan. Speaking of legs.
Speaking of legs.
I hate myself.
Why is Artem so excited about Ricky Martin?
He was cute. It was cute. So I guess that I don't know. I mean, he's clearly from a different country, Artem. So maybe like in wherever he was from, like he and Ricky back in the day, meaning the 90s, was like quite the dance icon. So if he grew up in a dance world, I mean, he probably listened to a lot of Ricky. So he was so excited. He could not believe that he was in Vegas. Okay, that makes sense. I can see that.
Do you think Ricky Martin was big in Russia?
Yeah. I can see that. I think Ricky Martin was big everywhere, no?
Sorry, I just got really distracted because I Googled Artem and then there's this photo of him holding like a giant mirror ball and wearing like a little blue Speedo and it's actively hilarious. Sorry, what was the question?
There was no question, but Artem could not believe that he was in Vegas meeting the Ricky Martin.
So funny.
Because he grew up, so he basically told everyone that he grew up dancing to his music, which makes sense. It was the 90s. He grew up dancing to his music.
It's I also think he's a Latin specialist. I think that like samba is his
and deal. Nancy is like annoyingly shy when she meets Ricky. It's like, you are a famous person. You don't
hate
shy
Nancy,
I don't hate her, but I feel like whenever she's on camera, she acts like very like demure and like coy and quiet, and like I feel like whenever the camera is like focused on her and she has to look at it, she acts that way, and it's like so strange to me, but whatever. So Artem just wants to make Ricky proud.
Do you find that some of the stuff that like is less directed right at the camera and might be something that the camera just like when captures, like you like her more
stuff? Yeah like she's fine, she acts like a normal human. like the camera goes on her and she like puts on this like coy, like sad, like, oh, I'm like shy. And it's like, are you actually shy? Because you weren't like 5 minutes ago and there were cameras everywhere. It's just very, I don't know. Like I don't pretend to know anything about being on TV. So you do it. You do you, boo boo. Nancy.
Here's my major question about Nancy. So first of all, the improvement this week, I think, is such a good testimony for like why you give specific helpful criticisms, not just, oh, I didn't really like it, or oh, it wasn't this, it wasn't that. straighten your legs, point your toe,
extend your arms, as
somebody can listen to you and then think about improving those specific things. And then they'll be better next week because of your contribution to their life. So that was great. But here's my question. If Julianne has literally never seen a better samba ever on the show, why did it get only an 8?
Yeah, no, Julianne is a hyperbole queen. She loves to say every dance is the most amazing, the most sexy, like the best version of you that I've seen so far. So she just always has to have some sort of adjective in front of it. So I doubt it's the best samba she's ever seen, but it was a proper samba, as Len says, no gimmicks.
Yeah, I think it must be Artem's specialty dance because I feel like I associate samba with him somehow.
Whenever they do the shake your bonbon like move, like I was like so into it. Like Nancy and Artem did that dance move so well. I did not know she could move her hips like that. Props to Nance.
Yeah, that was not, it's not something I would think of for an ice skater.
Yeah, she did. I honestly was very, very pleasantly surprised with the way she did in this dance. And I felt like her scores were well deserved, if not, a little, not even like a little low, you know?
Yeah,
not low. I mean, she got a 33 out of 40. It was like as high as like everyone else. So, she did great. I was very proud of her and I liked her costume and I thought she looked happier than she's looked in the past, which I think says a lot, because I think that for her, she sort of relies a lot on her emotion, which can be good and can be bad. So,
yeah. So in her judging of this, Julianne said, when I was on the show, we couldn't do a samba and have it really be jazz. So this is like leaning into the sort of classic Len criticism, right? That nothing is what it's supposed to be. Which brings me to David and Lindsay were assigned jazz.
Correct.
But so because when Julianne was on the show,
striptease.
they used to do ballroom and just ballroom until the freestyle. And then in later seasons, they started introducing like, here's a jazz routine.
Contemporary jazz.
Yeah, sometimes contemporary. It's like
They did lyrical for like 2 seasons and they stopped doing it because it was confusing.
Well, and the TV shows have never really been clear about the difference between lyrical and contemporary. And so, yeah, whatever.
Yes.
But so when they started introducing those things, though, it got confusing because the pros that they were hiring were specifically, with the exception of Allison Holker, very, very specifically ballroom dance champions. They were
we talked about the last week.
Yes, exactly. So what happens though, and this was such a like glaring example for me, coming off of Julianne being like, we couldn't do a samba and have it secretly be jazz. This was a jazz routine that was like secretly a samba. Like, why on earth did he have to do hold in the middle of his jazz routine? And it's just because Lindsay defaulted to it because she's a true ballroom person. So to her, like, literally all dancing has some sort of like ballroom. Yeah, component.
And honestly, if you ever have to do a jazz dance to Candy Shop by 50 Cent, like, I don't know. Don't even come at me with that. I don't even know what I would do. So,
but like, I mean, come on. Did you notice this? It really bothered me. This weird, like, everyone complains all the time about the sambas being jazz.
It almost was like it was like a 3-part story. Like there was like the beginning, set it up, and then the middle was like this weird hold, and then the end was like her with a clipboard, and like I was like very confused. And then he had bedazzled boxers on, and like, don't worry, David, your kids 100% saw that because we all did.
Was it an audition? Was he supposed to be like auditioning to join the Magic Mike show?
Yeah, but you didn't get until the end when she had a clipboard and she picked him. Yeah, correct. What was happening? It was so weird. I just felt uncomfortable.
This was the worst, but I also never stopped smiling.
Because it was funny. It was like very, and I liked when he like smacked his butt because it was like in such jest. He was like, I cannot believe this is happening right now to me. Yeah. Like he was just like, here I am, kids. Like
it was
like,
how in many, all
like 3 young kids, right?
Yeah. It was all in good fun. But then he got 8 and things got serious. Like,
right? Like he got a 31 out of 40. Like I say that quietly in case like people like didn't hear it right away. Cause like, not good, guys.
How?
I don't know. that was like such like, we just like you. Here's some cards. Like maybe they had some cocktails during one of the breaks. Like they took some shots under the desk and they were feeling frisky. Because like otherwise I have no explanation.
And this is the thing, like Mr. T gets a little bit and David gets a lot of just like feel good marks. These like you make me happy and therefore I'll reward you, even though there isn't really any ground to stand on, whereas Heather and definitely Nick just kind of don't make them happy.
And they just like, I think they feel like they need to, they set up, we're set up with, before the show even started, with a requirement to be harder on them. Whereas with David, they were set up to think that he was going to be like the first person voted off. So they were pleasantly surprised when they were able to give him a higher score. So I think they're just sort of like running away with their feelings at this point. They're just like, wee, like, here's some mates, like, and just like throwing them as if they're in a parade, you know? So, I don't know, but I think that we should expect to see him around for a little while longer, which I'm not mad about, but I think that if he gets voted, if somebody that's a better dancer gets voted out before him, then I'll be upset, you know? Like,
well, but everybody's a better dancer for other than Mr. T, really, right?
Well, okay, so I think that the people that could go before him without me being upset would be Mr. T. I think that I could see Erica go. I don't care about her, really. Is that bad? And I think, so now with Charo gone. So I think it's Mr. T and Erica. And then
Bonner.
Yeah, so Mr. T, Erica, and Bonner. All of them I could theoretically see go before David without me really, like, throwing a hissy fit. But I do think that if anybody else were to go, I would be like pretty like miffed, you know, like in a legitimate way. I think Bonner would be like a questionable decision because I do think that like at least he had like Sharna and him like move together well. But I mean, I don't even know. Moving on, gotta keep it going. Erica Jane, my girl, and our boy Gleb, they're back for their jive. Take me to heaven. take me somewhere. But Erica says that she loves Vegas. It's like her paradise. She is a Vegas gal, and she is not shying away from this jive challenge. I think that I felt nothing about this. I think I felt mediocre feelings.
Looked at it and felt cold in my heart.
I also will tell you that at this point in the evening, I had gotten an allergy attack and had taken a Benadryl. So I felt real good by Normani. But at this point, I felt a little sneezy and a little sleepy.
Well, so. I mean, everybody was feeling real good by Normani, whether they were on drugs or not. But
I did rewatch it this morning and I did feel the same way. So okay. What did you feel? Did you have feelings about it? Did you care?
I
it's okay if you didn't.
I really like her. She has won me over personally. I think she's so determined.
Personally, yeah. I'm on board.
I did not expect this, but I really like her. I thought the game was pretty. There was lots of grief.
Yeah, she looked great.
The song was fun.
Gleb looked like a freaking grease ball. What was with his hair?
It was based on the show, but the problem was that the show wasn't something we were familiar enough with, so he just looked weird and didn't have enough of an explanation for why.
Based on a show. Sorry, Gleb. Might be.
I liked that she was called ever so bendy. I thought that was funny. I don't know. It was very nothing, but
there was also
I like her.
So during this dance a few times, like towards the end, during this episode, we have yet to comment on this, but in the interstitials, they have quite the giant slot machine in the background they would pull various points throughout the show and it would come up with like all of Max's heads and like all of like dollar signs and like all really stupid stuff. But like at the end of their dance, it just kept going off for some reason. So I'm not really sure what that was about, but it sort of distracted me from them a little bit. And then this was another instance of a questionable lift situation. I will say that this was a huge buzzkill for me. Like, it was just like such a downer. And I will say that this was like thanks to like Randy for this on Facebook, but Carrie Ann does hate fun because this was unnecessary. Like, I still don't understand what she was even saying. Like, she started the routine, lifted up in the air by two troop members, and then came down and then started the routine. Not a lift.
Yeah. But I don't know.
26 out of 40. Respectable score for Erica. I hope to see her next week. I mean, we will see her next week. I hope to see her the week after. We'll see, right?
Yeah, we shall see. I don't know. She's very middle of the pack. And it's interesting because she might not have been middle of the pack if she got a different pro. I feel like the producers decide you're middle of the pack and then they assign you Gleb. So,
poor Gleb. His name is
poor Gleb, nothing.
Mostly just like his name is upsetting. But.
Yeah, it is upsetting. You know who was, I think, ridiculous, they were ridiculously hard on was Rashad, who was next, who I thought was delightful.
This is interesting dance to talk about. This one we got to break down because I feel that Emma and Rashad did really well. And I think that they did equally as good as they did last week. I don't think they did better than they did last week, but I do think that they did just as good. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I think it was really good. And I'm sort of like continually amazed when I look at Rashad that he has like he's so big and then he has such an ability to move his hips, for example, that I'm every time I'm like, oh, wow, that was surprising.
Yeah. So, only when they pointed out that he missed a step did I, and I went back and watched, and like, you, if you are looking for it, you can see that they're a little bit out of sync and it does make it look a little sloppy. But the way that Emma and Rashad interact, I thought it came across as just super fun and super flirty. And I felt like that they had such a good partnership that they made it seem very natural and very, very ease, like a super like ease to their movement that sort of made it like not a problem. But that, yeah. I mean, clearly the judges did not feel that way, those buttheads.
Yeah, this was an interesting one. It made me wonder if the judges are generally harder on you if you do a mostly good job and then make a mistake, as opposed to just being sort of generally mediocre.
Right. And last year, their Viennese waltz was like the best dance of the week. So they had like a huge like they had a pressure to perform, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I found this a little bit baffling because I saw it and I gave it an 8 and I was like, I thought that was fantastic. And then they were like, that was really bad. I was like,
Nikki Cathart on Facebook said, anyone else think Emma and Rashad did much better than they were scored? So yeah, Nikki also agrees with us. Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you, Nikki.
Randy said he didn't think that though. He said he thought they were really sloppy. Boo, bad Randy.
I thought they were like a little sloppy, but I also think it was week 3 and he wasn't sloppier than I'm willing to put up with and expect in week 3.
I should have read this before, but then Nikki says, truth be told, I might have been distracted by how amazing Emma looked. Her legs are amazing.
Emma,
darn cutin. So true. She looked so good in this episode. I was like, couldn't stop looking at her.
Emma is one of those people, and Sharna's like this too, but I feel like Emma's worse, where you sort of start to go like, wait, that's not how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be either talented or beautiful or fun or maximum two of those things. You can't,
nope,
you're not allowed,
all three.
You're not allowed to be all three. That's not fair to the rest of the world.
Clearly she's an alien.
No, yeah, maybe she's secretly evil. Every time someone like that, who I'm just like, you're the greatest,
a foreign, so I feel
and
like
you're also so beautiful. Different. So now I think you must secretly be evil.
But I do think Rashad did a really good job. So he did mess up one thing, and I did feel like he covered it really well. And I think they were quite hard on him. Yeah. So
I think Bruno called him a sportsman. As his way of being like, of course he understands that he did it wrong. He's a sportsman.
He's a sportsman. Bruno is like, he's the best at the commentary. And I think he's getting not a lot of time this season because of, you know, like the timing, whatever. But so he sort of fell into the Nick trap this week. Rashad did. So I hope that him and Emma can pull themselves out of that because they, I felt like, did well. But moving on to the headliners of the evening. Our America's sweethearts, Val and Normani, coming back from China. She is so good. Like, she is
so good. I don't, it's amazing to me how much we undervalued her going into the season.
Oh yeah. And well, I don't think we could have known.
Part of it was just me being like, well, I don't know Fifth Harmony, but also like, but I feel like we would normally, if it was a pop star, we'd normally put her pretty high. But we got so distracted by Heather, who then turned out to be fine. And so distracted by Simone, who turned out to be fine.
Well, yeah, but I also,
and I also in my head, I just have this thing about like last year's winning pro is automatically not a contender, which doesn't make any sense. But my brain tells me to do that anyway, even though I know and I say all the time that Val is the best pro.
Yes. So, yeah. And I do think that she also, she's very young. And for me, that sort of sometimes can be a hindrance. So I sort of felt like she might have not, like, with, she might have been a little bit younger than I gave her credit for. So she's coming across very mature, which I think that that is helping her out quite a bit. And she just, like, kicks this dance in the butt. Like, amazing. She kills it.
Do you see those high kicks? Those high kicks were amazing.
Oh, yeah. And when they come to the judges and Len's like, I would have liked to see a little more in hold content. Ugh. And Carrion's like, I feel bad, but once again, I'd like to dock a point for a lift. And it's like, everyone shut the F up, because this was perfect. It was a 40 out of 40. If anything, a 38 out of 40. You nonsense people.
So a couple things. One, I think that Len, it was almost less of an actual criticism of the actual routine and more of him just being like, Val, you that's always give me lots of hold content. Why did you give me like a tiny bit less today? I think he still gave them more than everybody else.
I was just in China.
Yeah, but like Val is known for content. Like, everything is like always like a version, like a textbook version of the dance. That he then makes better. And so I think Len was just like, oh, but you're usually my guy. Okay, never mind. Cool. See you next week.
Like, next time.
But I, in terms of the age thing, I think this is really interesting because her and Simone are the same age, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can see like a marked difference between the two.
Oh, yeah.
And on one hand, I do think part of that is the partners. Val has had young people before. He has like a good history of having, he had Zendaya, he had Lori. Like, I think he's used to, he knows how to deal with a younger contestant in a way that Sasha doesn't. So I think that he is just able to handle that better. But I also think there's just such a huge difference in maturity level and like life lived between someone who is an international pop star and someone who's a gymnast. Because one is exposed to so much of the world and had to grow up so young and mature to, in order to be able to like handle herself in that world and see so many things and meet so many people. And the other one is specifically very sheltered and spends, yes, she's like traveled the world to compete and stuff, but she spends most of her time in a gym with the same people over and over again, working incredibly hard. Whereas Normani would be exposed to so much more, and her work is sort of inherently sexualized, like, and all that kind of stuff. That like in a way that
gymnasts are just like not mature.
Yeah, and I think that pop stars are actively more like they, especially female pop stars, are. They have to grow up so much faster. So that's why you often see them like they end up dating guys 10 years older than them.
She became a pop star, you know, not like late in life, but not like not right away. She's not from like a privileged pop family either. So like she like has said before, her story was hard. You know, she grew up hard, you know, in a hard life. So I feel like she grew up quickly before she even became famous. So I think that that also adds to it. So, I mean, overall, I was super impressed. And I think that she is our front runner. Would you say, so our friend Doris on Facebook asked best dance of the night. She's asking for what we think, but I would say this was my best dance of the night. Was it yours?
Yeah. I mean, and I think I saying this, understanding that Heather was fantastic tonight.
Oh, so good. But just sort of feeling wise and emotion wise, I felt a lot here.
Oh, Normani, no one's close to her. Like I'm tend to be very bullish about my winner picks and wanting like basically what I predict at the start of the season. I always want it to come true. But since week two, I've just been like, no, ooh, I really, my heart always wants to root for Val. I don't even,
he's
I
so
just
good,
have to.
Though. You can't help it.
I love him and I love her and I think they're a great team and she's a wonderful dancer. And I just, I can't, I love them. And I just love Val so much.
I
and
do
I
too.
Want
so
him
we're
to be, my new thing is I want Val to challenge Derek's record.
Yeah,
six mirror balls. He's got two.
For sure.
So if this is his third one, he's almost there. He's halfway there, and he's halfway there in like a span of four seasons,
which is crazy. He could definitely do it. I have faith in him
because he
sure.
won, then he got like third place, and then he won, then he'd be winning back to back again.
Yeah,
because. Anyway, so we think that Mr. T, or no, so first of all, Charo goes home.
Yeah, so Charo goes home. I think that, so we already talked about that. We don't need to go back into it, but Charo goes home. And I think that next week we will either see Mr. T or one of our random three, whether it be Erica, Bonner, or who do we say? Erica, Bonner, or David. Yeah,
I'm a little worried about Nick, dude.
Yeah, me too. But I'm hoping not. I'm pretending not. I think if we put that out in the universe, Kelly, it'll happen. So we can't. We owe it to our fans and our listeners.
Do you think people are going to mobilize to save Nick? Like, do people yes. care about him?
Yes, they do. Everyone on Twitter cares about him.
We care about him.
All the tweets that I got about this episode, I will say, were about Nick. So I don't know if that says something about me, but it says something about him too. So
yeah, but then you have the followers from the Bachelor podcast. I don't know, man.
Whatever, Nick for the mirror ball. I love him.
I don't know. I did like him.
We'll see. I don't think that he's gonna go home before Mr. T, though. So
hopefully,
I think that I think that we're good there. But. Have anything else about the episode to add, Kel?
I don't think so. Vegas week is soups dumb, guys. Like, let's not do that.
Next
again.
Week, we have our most memorable moment, our most memorable year.
Yes, and we're going to get a whole Nick being like, it was definitely this year because I met Vanessa, when in truth, his most memorable year was probably the year of Andy's season, because his
or
whole
the year
hell,
he was born.
Well, his whole life like exploded the year that he met Andy.
If I am asked, it's never going to be like the year I got married, or it's going to be like the year I was birthed, because that was pretty memorable. I was born,
I was, like, really but into 2006.
It was like maybe 2003. Like, I had a really good summer that year. Like,
that was the summer that Christina Aguilera's Stripped album came out, and we all listened to it for like the whole summer.
I lost all my baby fat and I was a size zero for like 2 months, and then my hips came in. But you know what? For those 2 months, I was living. Anyway, everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the banter and the chatting and the dance talk. I hope you will join us again next week. Please shoot us your questions. Kelly, where can we find you on the internets?
You can find my work and all the many things I write and say at myentertainmentworld.ca, and our Twitter is at myentworld. It is me running it, even though it's a company Twitter, so you can tweet right at me there, and no Snapchat and Tumblr and Snapper shipping, you know, all that stuff. I don't know what Snapper
is. Crazy
Snapchat.
Kids and their platforms.
I don't have any of that stuff.
You can find me at Ange Palagi. So it's ANGPALAGGI. And you can also follow me on Instagram at the same handle. And you can follow my dog at Lily Bloom Puppy Dog, which is also me just posting pictures of my dog. I also just created Instagram for my brother's dog, so if you want to creep on that,
question,
hit me up.
Have you given any thought to changing your Twitter handle to your far simpler maiden name or married name?
So I've looked it up, but the problem is that like my maiden name is so simple that all the versions of my maiden name are like, they're so taken.
Oh, of your married name.
Of my married name, I just don't know.
That is
what
the thing about having something that's easy to spell, is that tons of other
people. It's already taken. Whereas Palagi, that ish is me and maybe somebody in Chicago. And that's about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, they changed my grandfather's name when he came in from Ellis Island to that, and that's about it. So it's us, and that's it. So, yeah, no, I will eventually. So I'm sorry, everyone. It's really long. Just follow me. I promise I'm fun.
You only have to spell it once, and then you're following her already. Yeah,
so true. Just spell it once. I will. I don't know. You can always just tweet at Mike and he'll send it to you so you can just click it.
That's the thing. You can follow me. Mike, you can follow like Haley, anybody who's easier to spell. And then at some point we will tweet at Angela and then correct. You'll be able to find her handle that way.
It's not that complicated. Just follow us and join us next week. But for now, we will see you on the dance floor. Have a good night, everyone. Bye.